Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
We are off and rolling. Happy Friday out there. November 21st, 2025 is the date. Welcome in to the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside executive producer of the show. That would be Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning 929. Connor, how's it going, brother?
Gabe, for the first time in a long time, I feel some hope.
Yeah. Although, are you talking Grizz or Tigers or both?
Both.
Grizzlies. That Kings team.
Oh my God. Are they the worst team in the NBA?
I mean, you have teams actively tanking. Like, the Pacers literally don't care.
Well, and Halliburton's hurt.
And the Pels, they try. They have a bright spot in Derek Queen so far this year.
I think that's kind of what I mean, is like, if you are they the most depressing team to be a fan of right now?
Yes, because you don't have a future, and you have old guys, right, and your roster stinks, and you gave up on Tyrese Halliburton, you know, a few years back, and then you traded him, you traded De'Aaron Fox. Like, they don't have a redeeming quality, especially with Domantas Sabonis going to be out for, what'd you say, at least 3 to 4 weeks?
3 to 4 weeks.
Reevaluated.
Well, because when you look at the bad teams around the NBA, the Wizards, bright future. The Nets are kind of close, but like, they have younger players who could actually be there long term. It's just when you look at the Kings, you're just like, oh, there's nothing here. Well, I guess the Clippers is pretty dire, too.
Kings, do you know anything about their draft capital? Is it any good?
I don't know. I can find it out.
Do they even own picks? Like, that would be the question. I'd imagine with the trades they've made, they own some picks. But I don't know. I have no real idea. But they have no direction.
They own their picks the next few seasons. They have one first rounder this year, two second rounders, and then 2027. They have a ton of – it seems like they still have their draft picks.
But they end up trading those anyway.
Maybe.
When they become good players, they trade them at the trade deadline.
So right now, they are 26th in offensive rating, 27th in defensive rating, 24th in points per game, and 28th in opponent's points per game.
Let me ask you this, though. Yes. Last night, watching that game, and granted, Grizzlies caught them in a great spot. You're at home, 7-game losing streak turned to 8 last night. You have a bunch of old guys leading scoring for them. Russell Westbrook, Zach LaVine. And Zach LaVine's not that old.
But LaVine was
on a bit of a downturn in his career. I mean, it's just natural once you hit 30. But what was worse, their offense or defense? I say defense.
Defense. It's definitely the defense. I think that we could have scored 20.
Yeah. I would have gotten an open look out there.
I would have at least gotten an open look.
Even if I was on ball. I mean, good God. Vince Williams Jr. last night?
Magic Johnson. Rajon Rondo.
They say the pass-first point guard is dead. The Rajon Rondo types. Vince, welcome. Gotta love it. 4 points, 15 assists.
It cannot be overstated how important Vince Williams Jr. play is to my mental health. And the last few weeks, he has looked like Vince Williams Jr. again, and it is it is truly helpful in terms of watching these Grizzlies teams right now.
I never sold my stock.
I never did either. We were in the red. We were in the red. Alarm bells were going off.
But I need to make a point about what we're seeing from him right now here in a bit. Because okay. The question I'm asking myself with him is, can I fully buy into what I'm seeing from him? And ultimately, with a healthy team, can he sort of buy in and play a role that, you know, highlights what he's done well in this season so far? But we will talk about that. We'll also talk about the Tigers. Lost 80-71 to Purdue. They fought, and yes, we will talk about the Aaron Bradshaw, Oscar Clough incident, whatever that was. But we'll do that. Trip Around the NFL is at 4:30. And then, of course, we have the Blitz at 6:30. As far as guests, normal Friday show, David Cobb at 5 o'clock to break down the weekend in college football. Not a great slate, but you have a nice Big Ten game, USC and Oregon. Then Lee Sterling will give you some picks for the weekend so you can make some money. He's been doing very well on our show. And then 6 o'clock, Parker Fleming. Talk some Grizzlies. What I'm going to bring up with Parker, though, Zach Edey, like looking back at some of his draft evals, he's already surpassed what a lot of people thought about him, right? Like, who was the woman, the draft analyst?
Oh, worst draft pick of all time?
Yeah.
I can't remember. It was Yahoo. I know that. It was Yahoo Sports.
But I'm just going to say it, and we'll get to it. He does everything you need from a big, from a 5, from a 7'4", 300-pound center. I mean, it looks great. Last night, 7-for-7 from the field, most of it early. People were I guess parlays got screwed up last night because I saw a lot of complaining on my
Well, because he had 25 minutes and stopped.
And also the rebounds were down. But it was team rebounding.
There were hardly any rebounds to get.
Yeah, they out-rebounded the Kings also by 23.
Right.
And everybody else got rebounds, and he didn't, but whatever. And he's still on a minutes restriction.
At some point, it felt like the Grizzlies shot 51% from the field.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Also, need to mention this because Jason Smith thought I was, like, trying to help you get the first seed, even though me and him are fighting for it.
In fantasy?
Week. Yeah, I accidentally, because I didn't see that Dalton Kincaid was going to be out.
Are we playing each other this week?
No, I'm playing Jason.
Oh.
I didn't see Dalton Kincaid was going to be out, so I started him. So he texted me. He goes, you know, was that an accident?
Oh.
What are you doing? And I was like, I promise you, I'm trying to beat you. You know, I do like having, you know, upholding at least that our show, Gabe Kuhn Show, is the best at fantasy football.
No question.
We own two of the last three titles.
Correct. And and I don't think that we've ever both missed the playoffs.
But, you know, I don't care about you enough to cheat so you can get a one seed over me.
I wouldn't want the collusion does not exist on this show. We compete ethically.
Yes. But as soon as the game started, I'm watching it and I don't see Dalton Kincaid and I go, oh no, what happened?
It's the worst feeling in the world. It's the worst feeling in the world.
But I have James Cook and he, you know, I told Jason, don't get comfortable because I got zero out of my tight end position. I could still potentially win. I think we have a 50-50 split still in win probability. But getting into it, let's start with Tigers. Last night, reasons for hope. Now, they still sit there at 1-3. Lost to Purdue, number one team in the country, in the Bahamas. But there was an effort. There was a battle. And what I think they need to do is bottle up that effort, Penny's secret stuff, close the lid, and bring it to every single game you play for the rest of the year. Because I think this is something that showed up a couple of years ago, not last year. They played well throughout the season and played hard throughout the season. But a couple of years ago with that team that was great in the out-of-conference and struggled in conference, there was a lack of get-up and the bring-your-own energy when they got into conference. And, you know, UNLV, that effort, that intensity was not there, even at home in front of the home crowd. When they play these big-time opponents, these power conference opponents, they tend to always get up. So I hope that's not something that carries over, but it is something I am watching and worried about going throughout the rest of the year. Purdue, just want to make an observation off top. That was Big Ten reffing last night. That was physical as hell. They were not calling anything at all, which brings me to Oscar Clough and Aaron Bradshaw last night. Now, Aaron Bradshaw played 9 minutes, fouled out, 0 rebounds, but he did have 7 points, and he hit a three coming out of halftime that helped them cut the lead. They ultimately took a lead, you know, shortly thereafter. I thought it, weirdly enough, was his best game, even though there's still a lot to be desired. But getting to that situation, Aaron Bradshaw sort of goes in there standing tall. He's 7'1". I bet he's about 200 soaking wet, which is very skinny. He's very thin. He tries to, you know, get position on Oscar Clough. Oscar Clough, for sure, threw two forearms into his back. And Aaron Bradshaw's right foot was off the ground. And he face planted. I mean, just went straight down to the floor and then tried to sell it after that. I mean, holding his head and, you know, just trying to get the call. And it was about 5 seconds. They finally stopped play. And Aaron Bradshaw got in Clough's face. We took a timeout. Technical was assessed to Memphis. And I thought it was a massive play in the game because Memphis was up 4 at that point, and Purdue got 2 shots, 2 free throws, and the ball, which I think a lot of Memphis fans were confused about because they thought it was a dead ball foul. But whatever. The questions that people have. Did Aaron Bradshaw flop? I really don't think so. I don't think so. Clough is a big, physical Australian center. Now, I didn't even have to add Australian, but I feel like it helps paint the picture. On top of that, Connor, if there's one thing that we've learned about Aaron Bradshaw through these 5 games, right, or 6 games, 2 exhibitions, 4 regular season, he is insanely light in the ass, right? He is 7'1". He's listed at 7'1", 220. I don't care if he weighs that much or what have you, if he's a little more, a little less. He does not throw around his weight very well. He has 4 rebounds in 4 games, and he's 7'1". He is not built to find position on a guy like Oscar Clough, who's just going to bang you around in the post. Now, I don't think he flopped, but did he sell it? Did he try to sell it and get a foul? Abso-freaking-lutely. No doubt in my mind. He could have got up off the ground, but he held his head. And he tried to go get a flagrant for Memphis. Should it have been a foul? That's for you to figure out. It was called, you know, that game. It was called physically. They held the whistle for the most part. So I felt like it fell in line with the way that refereeing crew was calling. But he gets a tech. It changed the game going into crunch time. And ultimately, Purdue got 2 in the ball. It ultimately helped Purdue win the game. I hated that part of it. But what I did like about it, that's the only passion I've seen from that guy all year. Bradshaw gets in his face, runs up on Oscar Clough, puts his finger, whatever. Now, I think it was all bark, no bite at all. But for me, having watched this guy through these 6 games, it was something. He hasn't shown us anything. And Penny, after the game, was asked about Aaron Bradshaw's performance, which was not great, but he scored 7 points, 3 for 4 from the field, knocked down a 3, and then had that little run-in with Oscar Clough. I feel like he's saying the same thing that I'm saying right now. He said, I think tonight was a great start. We've just got to keep him out of foul trouble. He hadn't said that about Aaron Bradshaw yet. He hasn't said a positive word about him in these first 3 regular season games, but last night he said it was a great start. And as much as we don't want to admit it with Aaron Bradshaw, as bad and poorly as he has played, gets into foul trouble, fouls out, you know, doesn't play physically even though he's 7'1", as bad as he has played, if this team's going to do anything of note, in my opinion, you got to get something out of him. He was a preseason All-American Conference first team pick. Probably has a big paycheck attached to him. I'd say probably goes Doug McDaniel, then Aaron Bradshaw, because of his past five-star former McDonald's All-American. If you're going to be successful using the portal, you can't have guys like that be complete no-shows. So I know it looks bleak right now for Aaron Bradshaw, but hopefully it can improve going forward. He has the tools. He's just got to use them. Penny's got to get it out of him.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing he's got to do is figure out how to play the game without fouling. It's only playing 9 minutes and having five fouls is damn near impossible. It's absolutely insane. You've been playing basketball at a high level for long enough to where you should be able to defend for 10 minutes of a game without fouling every 2 minutes.
Five times.
Genuinely, when we were keeping track with the game yesterday during the show, I was like, how many fouls does he have already? It didn't make any sense. So I'm kind of with you. The most fire we've seen from him is when he got shoved and sold it, because I agree with
you. I don't think it was much, but it's all he has.
I don't think he quote unquote flopped, because flopping is when there is absolutely nothing there and you completely fabricate it. He got shoved, knew there was an opportunity there. He absolutely sold it. And you know, he kind of sold it with how quick he popped up and got in the guy's face. It's like, if you got hit that hard, you're not popping up that quick. So now, one thing I did notice last night, man, Purdue fans are the Warriors fans of college basketball. Oh my God, the lack of self-awareness that this fan base seems to have.
Honestly, a little bit worse, because I saw some race.
Oh, horrible.
Very racist horrible. Stuff last night from that fan base. Not horrible. Making the Midwest look good. That was ugly. And they found me. Mm-hmm. They found me on social media. And I, you know, Jeff Goodman put out a tweet basically saying that Aaron Bradshaw flopped completely. And I pushed back. I said, you ever been, you know, pushed in the back, shoved in the back by a guy who's 7'2", 260? And I feel like I needed to throw out a note to Purdue fans. Like, look at my bio first before we talk about, like, big men and how physical and, you know, they can be and how much a push from a guy who's 7'2", 260 means. Because it felt like they didn't understand that at all. They attacked me and said it was a complete flop. But I said, guys, I've played football. I know the type of force that guys like that can generate.
Yeah.
Now, the rest of the front court. Tariq Ingram, 10 points.
Yeah.
Solid. He needs to get more in shape, and I think he could potentially be a starting five. But I cannot get over Simon Majok. I really like the guy. 5 points, 7 rebounds. Didn't really play that much down the stretch, but he's got the tools. It's just, you know, honing him in, getting the system in a short period of time, and just trying to find – a rhythm. I like him a lot. It just seems like he affects a lot of things on the basketball floor when he is out there. He can shoot a little bit, a decent screen setter, good rebounder, can block shots, even though he got called for a bunch of goaltending. But I like him taking those chances.
I do too.
He's a guy that I think has a lot of upside.
Yeah.
And Penny got him way late in the calendar. And it seems like it's something that could potentially work out.
Listen, I understand that yesterday was a loss for the Memphis Tigers, and moral victories don't go on your record. But it was a bit of a moral victory for the Memphis Tigers.
For
and
sure.
I think the fan base as a whole watched that game and said, this is the first time we have felt real effort in an entire game from Penny's team this season. And you can kind of see how they may fit together for the first real time. And you hope, you know, Curtis Givens really struggled in the game. Mm-hmm. It was his first, like, real dud of the season, so hopefully he can be more in the mix as time goes on.
Quante Berry not great last
night. Quante Berry, that's why, but you had a couple of guys present as maybe being able to give you something, Simon Majok absolutely being one of them. I thought that Zach Davis, he had a good game yesterday. Like you said, Tariq Ingram. You just hope that as the season goes on, they kind of take form. And them being able to stay in the game with the number one team in the country and have the lead for a good portion of the game.
I didn't think they'd take the lead back in the second half, to be honest.
No, I did not either. When Purdue went on, I think, like that 6-0, 7-0 run, it was either right before the first half ended.
Right before the half.
I thought, oh, this is the time they caught up.
Right.
They'll probably control most of the second half. Where, no, in the second half, the team was leading until, what, 6-7 minutes left in the game, and then Purdue kind of took control of it until the end. I thought it was a good showing by the Tigers, and it gave me some hope moving forward. If they were able to have a performance like this against Purdue, if you can have the effort, like you said, bottle that effort up, and if you present this effort against the rest of the American or the rest of your schedule, you should have a okay season.
Again, that's successful, something I'm good watching, season. Is Wake Forest tonight.
Right.
6 o'clock, big enough for this roster to up. We'll see.
The biggest... Because there was good last night, but there was still some bad. Like, one of our major concerns heading into the season was about the three-point shooting. And I still don't know where they're going to get that consistently, because I think that, to me, felt like the biggest difference in the game. Ultimately, size, too, did matter. The rebounding and just Purdue being able to go in.
Physicality.
But it was Purdue being able to knock down a three when they needed to. Like, Memphis was 4 of 19 from three, and Purdue was 11 of 30. And that felt like one of the huge differences in the game. Because Memphis was able to, with their effort, kind of stay scrappy inside the paint to a surprising degree. But the separation between the two teams was the three-point shooting.
And I think they need this one tonight against Wake Forest, because you don't want to drop to 1-4, first of all. And second of all, you know, you lose to Wake, who was very good, actually, last night against Texas Tech. Juke Harris, 26 points. You're going to have to deal with him. Big wing, can shoot, can do all the things. But, you know, you're losing opportunities every time you lose to one of these teams in the non-con. And we know Penny schedules very well. But I would really like to see them win tonight. And I think that would be a win for the program, a win for this team going forward, if they just get to 2-3, beat Wake Forest.
And I also think that once they're done with this trip, you do need to know who your guys are. Because I still don't really know who they are yet.
No.
We talked about the trust list yesterday, and I still don't know if I can put anyone down with Penn just yet.
Doug,
but it's kind of by default. You kind of have to put Doug. But yeah, I think, I mean, you know, Doug was fun. He was good. Doug was good yesterday in the game. 30 minutes, 18 points, 6 assists, 6 rebounds. Like, that is, if he can give you that consistently this season, you're going to probably have some success. But who else can we put down? I thought that Curtis Givens was going to be one of those guys. And then, of course, he followed it up with the dud. But can Simon, can he make that? Can Zach Davis stay consistent?
Tariq Ingram is
Tariq Ingram. Can Julius Thedford, can he step up? And then again, the Sincere Parker question and Quante Berry, it was also a dud from him. So it's just, I would like to see if they can pick up a win against Wake Forest. That would be huge. You need to pick up a win against Wake Forest. But I also just want it to be established who his guys are, because he played a lot. And I understand why he's playing a lot. I'm not criticizing Penny for playing the amount of guys he did with the minutes distribution that he did. You kind of have to right now, because outside of Doug, who's your guy?
Yeah. You're not getting it out of Aaron Bradshaw. You have to figure out who is going to step
Honestly,
up.
At this, like, with Bradshaw, I don't even know if he should be starting right now until he can prove that he's not going to foul out in 10 minutes.
And bring a little bit of passion.
Right.
Like you did to Oscar Clough.
I would prefer giving someone that starting spot that's going to come out with fire from the jump.
Yep, for sure. No doubt about it. All right, Grizzlies beat the Kings 137-96. So, like I said yesterday, my brain can stay locked in on the Grizzlies. They can beat the bad teams. But we already mentioned it. The Kings are absolutely positively awful. They were coming on a second night of a back-to-back, traveled, no Sabonis. My takeaways from that game, even though it's kind of hard with how bad the Kings are. Zach Edey, he's already outdone his draft evals. I remember what was said about the guy. I remember people saying he was just tall. But I know a good NBA big when I see one. Because, let's be honest, the role he's playing is not that complicated. You can see it, and you can understand it pretty quickly. Be physical, get boards, get putbacks, block shots. You know, be a deterrent at the rim. Rudy Gobert got $36.5 million per year doing literally what I just said. But Edey, when we look at his draft evals compared to where he is right now, and I know it's what, 3 games into the season because of the injury, all rookie first team, 9-8 on 58% from the field, 6th in the NBA last year in offensive rebounds per game, top 25 in blocks, and you know the comp I liked for him coming out of Purdue was Ivica Zubac with LA.
Yeah.
But he's top 25 in blocks. He made the all defensive team last year, and Edie had more blocks per game than Ivica Zubac. So like all of the things that he brings to the table are great. He had 16 points, 7-for-7 from the field. He can get to the line. He can knock them down. Sometimes we saw it a little bit last year. He could stretch out of the 3-point line, although we don't want to see him do that all that consistently.
Hey, he's shooting 50% this year.
But on how many attempts?
Hey.
2.
Hey, tell your story.
Yeah, but Edie, I am more than willing to say he's a lock. He's a mainstay. He's a guy that you, without question, will need going forward. And I just I love what he brings to the table, especially in the pick and roll. You need a willing participant in the pick and roll, and he's more than
he's
a willing
so
participant.
Good at it.
Like Steven Adams was great for this team, great screen setter, but he wasn't a pick and roll guy. He would just sort of follow Ja into the lane.
He was a pick guy, but he wouldn't. Yeah, he wasn't a roller.
He hoped to get a putback, an offensive rebound. Zach Edey last night, he's way more fleet of foot than we thought coming out of Purdue, and he's so good in the pick and roll. Like it feels like he is at home when he's able to set a screen and then roll to the basket. Vince Williams Jr. last night, awesome. 15 assists, 4 points, only 3 turnovers. He set the table for the team with all of the point guards out and made things happen. Now, I want to run this by you, Connor. I never sold my stock. I think Vince is a good player. But I'm a bit tired of seeing this level of play in the moments when the Grizzlies are down and out. You know, like in 2023, he really showed through, and right now with all these injuries he's showing through, I want to see him with a fully healthy roster star in his role. I just haven't seen that yet. Now, his opportunities haven't fully been there. You know, he was injured to start the year. I get that. But when this team gets closer to full health, I want to see him do these same things.
Okay. They just haven't been. I mean, he hasn't really had the opportunity to. When the team has been at their most health, he has been injured. But when he gets consistent minutes and he is playing because he is healthy, we do see this version of Vince. I mean, this is his entire season. He started off a little slow when he came back, but like for the last 2 weeks, he's been the old version of Vince Williams Jr., an efficient player out there. He's knocking down his threes again. He's shooting 34% from three now, which is kind of like if he can stay 34-36% in that little area, I'll absolutely take that. But with Vince, it's all about health. It's all about health. It's those ankles. We saw in the Spurs game, he almost got injured in the Spurs game.
And even in college, he had some issues at VCU with health.
Or not the Spurs game. The Cavs game is when he tweaked his ankle, but he was able to stay in the game. Yeah, I mean, if Vince is able to stay healthy on a healthy Grizzlies roster, like when Ja's back, when Jaren's back, when Ty and name 1,000 players come back, it will be a difference maker. So I don't disagree with you. I also just don't think that he hasn't shown that he can be effective when guys are healthy. It's more about the opportunity hasn't necessarily been there.
Healthy.
But he's given you long stretches of time where I think that we have enough sample size now to say, I think that Vince is closer to what he was last night than the Vince that we saw at the end of last, you know, the bad Vince that we saw at
when
the beginning
had to pull
of,
him
the season.
Off the floor in a playoff game.
Yeah.
And also, final thing, this is just sort of copy and paste. Cedric Coward, good basketball player.
That off the, dude, that fading three he hit in the corner.
And I love how he
crazy.
Getting to his spots in the mid-range, that could be deadly. And we heard the Draymond Green Kawhi Leonard comparison. Now, I don't know if he'll reach that level, but that is 100% without question a part of Kawhi's game when he was playing it is sort of peak Kawhi Leonard.
You see why that could be his ceiling when you watch him play.
Yes.
He is so consistent with his jump shot. The mechanics of it, it's consistent every single time, no matter where
he
is on
the
court.
And he makes
the
right reads. He tries to be a team player.
Already impactful on the defensive end. He and Edie, once they come off of this minutes restriction, will help this Grizzlies team win more basketball games. I don't know how many games that is, But when they are off minutes restriction, when they are able to play 30 minutes, they should, because when they are out there, this team flows. Mm-hmm. It just flows. And that's where watching Zach Edey these last three games, it has been so surprising. For a guy so big, he creates so much space.
Yep.
It's kind of shocking how when he is out there, you feel like the rest of the team has more room to maneuver than they do when he's not out there. He just moves people out of the way. And there's a bunch of clips going around social media right now of the last few games of Edey. He just, even when he's off ball, he isn't involved with the pick and roll, or just he isn't involved at all. He's still working and moving people out of the paint. Mm-hmm. He knows his basketball IQ is very high, and he has things that he can improve on. But where he is right now is exciting because you can see him as a corner piece for a franchise moving forward. And having him and Coward at their ages clicking already is a sign of good things to come for the Grizzlies. I understand that it feels like a tumultuous season right now. And the John Jaren thing, you have to figure out. Can they be viable long-term as a pair on a winning basketball team? We have to figure that out this season. But knowing that you have Coward and Edey there, no matter what happens, there is a comfort in that. Now, I think we would also be remiss to not mention, good Gigi.
Yep.
Really good Gigi minutes last night. Mm-hmm. And listen, he took 5 threes, didn't knock one down.
Didn't even shoot well.
But he wasn't forcing anything. Mm-hmm. He attacked the basket was when he was the most effective. But the biggest thing that I noticed from Gigi, 9 rebounds.
Yep.
And effort on the defensive end. And not only just effort on the defensive end, I thought he played good defense.
Yep. Now, final thing before we get to a trip around the NFL, there is a statement from Keith Carter, Ole Miss AD.
Sheesh.
About Lane Kiffin. And if you haven't been following along with reports and things of that nature, the turn has happened. I thought that Lane Kiffin, if he was going to leave for a job, it would be Florida, the Steve Spurrier thing. Trying to follow in his footsteps. But LSU has emerged as the favorite for Lane Kiffin to be coaching next year. And this is what Keith Carter, the AD for Ole Miss, put out. Coach Kiffin and I had many pointed and positive conversations regarding his future at Ole Miss, including meeting today with Chancellor Boyce. While we discuss next steps, we know we cannot lose sight of what is most important, our 6th-ranked team that is poised to finish the regular season in historic fashion. Despite the outside noise, Coach Kiffin is focused on preparing our team for the Egg Bowl, and together we want to ensure that our players and coaches can concentrate fully on next Friday's game. This team is on the cusp of an unprecedented season, and it's imperative they feel the support of the Ole Miss family in the week ahead. An announcement on Coach Kiffin's future is expected the Saturday following the game, which is on Friday, of course. I'm just going to say, you don't put a statement out like this unless he's leaving. Right? Like, that's my take.
It would be, if he doesn't leave, Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin need to be charged with running a psyop on the Ole Miss fan base, because it would be torture. You don't put out this statement unless you know he's leaving, which is why I don't understand why, just say he's leaving.
Well,
this is torturous.
Right.
This is like getting a text from your girlfriend that says we need to talk later.
But also, I will say, this is as close as you can get to saying he's leaving.
Then just say it.
But you don't.
Why? Just say it.
Because he's coaching the team for the next game.
Okay. It's so obvious now that he's going to leave. It's like getting a text from your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your significant other, your partner, that says, we need to talk later.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it's like getting a text from one of your parents that says, hey, I have news, call me. And you're freaking out and you have to wait to talk to them. Just rip the Band-Aid off, man. I think this is fair to the fans.
And the players. I think they'll rip the Band-Aid off that Saturday morning after the Egg Bowl. I think it'll be very quick. They'll let people know he's gone. And then after that, it's who's going to be the interim head coach and what's the committee going to do? Because we talked about it yesterday. It was Chris Lowe of On3 posing the idea of the committee taking this into consideration if Lane Kiffin leaves and dropping Ole Miss a couple of spots for it. I hope they don't do that. I think that would be patently ridiculous. But we've seen things like this happen in the past. The Jordan Travis FSU thing definitely comes to mind. with the 14 playoff getting left out completely because their starting quarterback was hurt, even though they were 13-0, ACC champs, great resume. So we'll see. But again, you don't put out a statement like this unless you have it on pretty good authority. Lane Kiffin's going to be heading for LSU or Florida. What?
Because there's no reason to wait to announce he's staying.
Right. Correct. No doubt.
Real quick, two questions. We think LSU and Summerall, number one target?
I would say Summerall, yes. But Summerall's up for Auburn and Florida, from what I understand. So they're going to have competition for him. This coaching carousel is insane.
Nuts.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens next week on Saturday. But let's go ahead and grab our first break of the day. When we come back, get to a trip around the National Football League right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Back rolling on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It's time to take a trip around the National Football League. Connor, hit it. All right, so Vikings quarterback J.J. McCarthy, otherwise known as Nine to Vikings fans. They still believe in him. But I saw this quote yesterday, and Connor, we need to sort through this, and I need to know what you think. Here's a quote. Coming in here, I was taught how to play quarterback a very different way. How hard is it to rewire? It's really hard. You're rewiring neurological pathways, and that's not something that happens overnight. It might be over before it starts. I mean, he's been terrible, but you're talking about neurological pathways?
Gabe, he is used to taking a snap,
and turning around
and handing.
Yes.
He's not used to his arm having to go forward and let go of a football.
That's so sad.
He doesn't have the pathways to throw a football forward. He only knows how to drop step and hand it off. Well, you know, but I sympathize
with the Vikings' offense isn't that much different than what he was doing at Michigan.
It's a crazy answer.
And he had an NFL coach when he was at Michigan. How can it be this hard? I mean, I know it's new terminology in all likelihood, and you have to learn different things now that you're with Kevin O'Connell. But, brother, we've watched Sam Darnold revive his career with him. You know, we've watched Carson Wentz have some success until his arm fell off because his shoulder was so hurt. Like, how is it this complicated? I know what, like, the ticket is for him. If you run the ball well, he can find some success on play action and otherwise. But if you don't, he won't find success. But rewiring neurological pathways, I think you said it perfect. His neurological pathways were turning around, handing the ball off. And now that he has a little bit more responsibility, he can't handle it. And I hate to say it. I hate to say it because he's still young, still got some runway to be a decent quarterback in this National Football League, even though it's looked bleak this year. But this is exactly what we talked about when he was coming out of Michigan, going into the NFL draft. People were so high on him in this pro-style system and everything else. Well, what happens when a defense stops the run game and he's asked to go win a game with his arm? Time and time again, he has shown us this year he can't do it. But the neurological pathways, they have to, you know, he's got to find new ones.
It's an incredible lack of self-awareness to give a quote like that. Incredible lack of self-awareness.
Goofy is what it is. Speaking of goofy, A.J. Brown was posed a question about people that have said he's not the same player this year that he once was. And, A.J., take it away.
What would you say there's been speculation out there that you are not the same player you once were? What would you say to those people?
I guess Saquon ain't the same player either. All right. But
I guess Saquon's not the same player.
But he has no comment, Gabe. He has no comment.
He had a comment. He said, I guess Saquon's not the same player either. I'm so tired of his act. He sows distrust, dysfunction within a very good organization that's winning ball games. And I don't think I've ever seen an 8-2 NFL team that is number one in the NFC. I've never seen this level of drama. You're winning ball games. Let the chips fall where they may. I went over all the stats yesterday about why, yeah, Jalen Hurts, not a great thrower of the football, doesn't force it into tight windows, he plays his game, doesn't turn the ball over. But I went over all the stats that show that works. He's 32-1 when the Eagles win the turnover battle. Also, the run game hasn't been the same. The offensive line hasn't been the same. And now you have Lane Johnson, your all-pro right tackle, out for some weeks. Saquon has gone from 125 yards per game to 66. A.J. Brown is a problem. He just is. He's not happy. And I get his point. He's explained it pretty well, that he wants to feel like he's helping the team win and he wants to contribute. But at the end of the day, we play this game to win and try to get to Super Bowls. And they did that last year. Jalen Hurts, the quarterback that he seems to be unhappy with, won the Super Bowl MVP. And you could absolutely be on your way this year as long as you sort of drop the nonsense and keep this drama out of the locker room. But I think the biggest problem I have with what he did yesterday with that quote, don't bring your teammate into this.
No.
That's ridiculous.
Especially Saquon Barkley.
I get,
what are you talking about?
I get he's trying to make his point heard, but don't bring your teammate into this. That is foolish. It's nonsense, and it doesn't do anything good for your organization. But I think you've said it a million times, Connor. I'm tired.
I'm over it.
I'm so tired.
I've been over it.
of his act. It's getting ridiculous.
I understood his frustrations with the Titans, but since he's been with the Eagles, it's every single year. It's every year. He's a selfish player and he's a bad teammate. We have all the evidence in the world of him being a selfish player and a bad teammate. Him saying that he wants to feel like he's contributing to winning is a veiled way of saying throw me the ball more.
I want stats.
Yeah, I want stats.
Yeah.
It's a
nice way of putting it. He's trying to make himself look less bad with the drama he's sowing within that locker room at 8-2. Can we remember a team that was this good but had this much dysfunction behind the scenes?
Florida Gators.
Well, I'm talking NFL. NFL.
I don't know. No, probably not.
I remember the Steelers started 11-0 one year, but everybody thought it was fake. But I don't think they had mistrust within the locker room. I mean, this is just foolish.
I mean,
he needs to drop it.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to rack my brain with a team that has had success like this, but it's really just one guy. It's kind of just mainly A.J. Brown.
Well, but then you have the reports that make it seem like it's a organizational thing. But I still question the reports that we read this week. If that's just almost like A.J. Brown's the inside source and that's where they're getting that information from. Because that's what I would bet it is. You don't see DeVonta Smith freaking out and talking to the media this way. You don't see Saquon Barkley
Dallas
doing
Goddard.
It. You don't see any of the offensive linemen doing it. They're just saying we need to execute better. It's A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown's a problem. Mike Tomlin says that after breaking his left wrist last week, Aaron Rodgers is questionable in Sunday's game versus the Bears. Now, if I'm the Steelers, I really want Aaron Rodgers out there because I don't want to watch Mason Rudolph play quarterback. But they're at the top of the AFC North. But you also have to be careful with a 41-year-old quarterback who has issues and you don't have a good offensive line. So he's questionable heading into this weekend. We'll see if he plays against a really solid Bears team that's been very good this year. This is sad. This is tough. Sam Laporta, star tight end for the Lions. One of the best tight ends in the league, blocking, going out on routes, making some things happen. He will not return this season due to a back injury.
Oh,
he's
no.
done for the year, and it's a back. That's always the scariest thing. Back injuries a lot of times require surgery, especially if he's going to be out for the rest of the year. That's what I would assume. And then when you come back, it's a lot of pain tolerance and pain management, and it's ended a lot of careers. So that concerns me. And for the Lions, you still have Jameson Williams. You still have Amon-Ra St. Brown. You know, you can find ways around it without having Sam Laporta, but that's a heck of a target for Jared Goff in that offense. And missing him for the rest of the year is, in my opinion, gonna be a problem. Joe Burrow's questionable going into the weekend. I don't get it. Joe's a competitor, wants to play. The Bengals will have until 4 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday to activate Joe Burrow to the 53-man roster if he's going to play against the Pats this weekend. I would not want to line up Joe Burrow off an injury against that Pats defense, against that team in general. You're 3-7. You don't really have a chance to get back into the fight. Your defense stinks, and I would imagine Drake May gets whatever he wants against that defense, and they have a decent run game now that Travion Henderson is in there. If I'm the Bengals and I'm Joe Burrow, I sit out the rest of the year and just talk about next year. Get ready for next year. Because that's when you actually have a chance to make the playoffs, improve your defense this offseason, do the things that will ultimately make you a playoff team. But him playing the rest of the year just does not jive with me. It doesn't make any sense. That was predictable.
Yikes.
But it was so predictable. I said it.
Texans defense is so good.
They had 8 sacks.
Their defense is crazy.
Will Anderson Jr., he's not talked about enough. He had 2.5 sacks last night. Danielle Hunter had 2. The Bills' offensive line is not as bad as they showed last night, but it is kind of crazy to think about Josh Allen and the type of runner he is. And getting sacked 8 times. Like, the guy can escape everything, but he couldn't escape that pass rush of the Texans last night. I also saw this. This made me laugh a little bit, although I am praying for this referee. Did you see the referee who got carted off to the locker room with a non-contact injury? And this was an update that the NFL threw out there. Adrian Hill, the ref, got knocked out of the game last night. But the Bills have a lot of problems, Connor. They have a lot of problems. I'm praying for Jeff Calkins. That rush defense is not good. I thought they held up okay last night, but the Texans' offensive line's terrible, and they don't have any good backs. Joe Mixon's not playing. You have Woody Marks out there, who was supposed to be the third running back coming into the year, but now he's the starter. He had 74 yards. I thought the Texans dictated the pace of the game with their defense. And here's the other part that really, really scares me. The Josh Allen turnovers and the Bills turnovers are coming back. They have 9 turnovers in the last 3 games. They were just lucky last week that the Bucs had a couple of turnovers that they were able to take advantage of. And that's why they won the ballgame. But they're 1-2 in the last 3. They've lost to 2 very middling teams. I think the Dolphins are terrible. I think the Texans are okay, good defense. But the turnovers are coming back. He doesn't have any real targets. Tyrell Shavers was his leading receiver and target getter last week in that win against the Bucs. They have some serious issues that I don't know that they can fix. And I hate it for Josh Allen because it feels like, in all likelihood, the Bills probably will make the playoffs, but they're going to waste another year because I don't think they can make a run. I don't think they can beat the top teams in the AFC. I'm talking Colts. I'm talking, Pats. I'm talking those teams that we don't know if we can fully believe in a playoff setting. Those are complete teams. Bills are Josh Allen, and that's it. That's what it feels like to me right now. So we'll see.
It does feel like they wasted the Patriots or really bad years.
Yep.
And all of a sudden they're back. They're back.
And can we take a moment to, hate on that for a second? Tom Brady, they had like 4 bad years. And even the year after Tom Brady left, they had Mac Jones. They went 10-7, made the playoffs. Now they got killed by the Bills.
Yeah.
But they had like 3 down years, and now they're all the way back. And Drake May is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and I feel very confident saying that. Cam Newton, though, did you see that this week? Cam Newton said, I don't know if I can trust him yet. What else does he have to show you? I know it's been 11 games, but his OC, Josh McDaniels, done a good job with that organization and good job with young quarterbacks.
It's just not
fair. He knows how to call plays. But, yeah, the Patriots, they piss me off.
Not fair. Bears fans are like, really?
2 tough years, and now they're back on
Browns
top of the
fans,
NFL.
What's going on? Yep. They're like, how is this possible?
We've had 40, and Shador's going to start this weekend, 42nd quarterback starting for the Browns since 1999. And the Patriots have had a few in the past couple of years, but they're probably at like 5 or 6 quarterbacks since 1999. Tom Brady.
Sheesh.
Jimmy G started a couple of games. Jacoby Brissett in that era. And then these last couple of years, they're probably right around, 6, 7, 8? Something like that. We're going to have to go check the record. But that will do it for a trip around the National Football League. We'll get to hour number 2 coming up next. David Cobb from CBS Sports will lead us off.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit DetectTheSOS.com today.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.